I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show.
So I walk up the ramp, and, you know, we're getting kicked out of this building. And there's a vent, like a big duct system, coming up the ramp. And, you know, a couple of gallons of water come out and splash me in the head.
No way.
Oh,
six drops.
Yeah, I got
bunked. Either way, I don't know where that water's been.
In those rusty pipes of the Tribune Tower.
Running out of the nasty pipes of the Tribune Tower. Out of my head. Oh. My bald head.
I would much rather get soaked in rain than get dripped on.
Right? It's ridiculous.
You know, I got that too, Steve.
You got dripped on?
I got hit on the head, yeah. It's nasty.
I haven't had time to have my Karen Silkwood nuclear shower.
You know, what's concerning about that is, do you see the drops, how they leave the white marks on the concrete?
Uh-huh.
Is it corrosive?
We'll find out. Give me 30 minutes.
And you know, windshield, too.
Big old hole in my head.
It's not accidental, because I didn't get anything.
I didn't either.
So you're saying it's a hit job?
They're watching
maybe.
You.
Maybe.
As you come up the ramp?
It was slippery, too, on that ramp.
I don't know.
Zap him.
I know. We're not scheduled to move until May, but I may leave without you guys. I may head over there today.
You're going to do the inaugural show today?
Yeah. There's not actually a studio built yet, but may just go over and sit in it.
You know how visual I am. I'm just, you're in the shower, the Karen Silkwood thing.
Karen Silkwood shower.
That is so,
golly. Millennials everywhere are going, what?
What? What's that?
Meryl Streep, what?
Share what?
We'll do the top six in a second. Hi to John DeCause. How's your one knee?
One knee is doing wonderful, thank you.
Is it 2 weeks today?
No. We're at four. We are 4 weeks.
So it's a month today?
Month.
You know,
today.
One of the symptoms of getting hit in the head with that nasty water is a loss of memory.
Short term, that's true.
Quite a day yesterday. The president personal attorney, Michael Barone's office, raided. And documents taken, obviously. They didn't come by just to say hello and bring donuts. And we are lucky enough to have Michael Zeldin on this morning. Michael Zeldin, the former right-hand man to Robert Mueller and a regular contributor at CNN. He'll be on at 7:40. So we'll talk more about that. And, of course, Tax Day is coming up 1 week from today. And
17th.
Yeah. So I have got to get my extension ready by then.
I was going to say.
Lewis Sands, accountant friend of ours, who we've used several times on the show, will be in to answer text questions. As a matter of fact, let's do this, Super Joe. Let's take text questions now if you have a tax question later. So you can text it now at 312-981-7200. And if you have a tax question, I will ask as many of those as possible.
Is that called a tax text?
A tax text. Yes, we're taking tax text. Very good. Very good. Well done by you.
Thank you.
I couldn't put those two words together because of the damage the water on my head did. And let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Legislative session continues in Springfield. Governor Rauner's top priority is a full-year budget. Jim Durkin, the Republican leader, will be on with us on Thursday to talk about what's happening there, because apparently the Madigan side... Yeah, I haven't talked about Mike Madigan in a long time. This will be show number 1,121 that he hasn't shown up on. Once again, Mr. Speaker, you're invited on the show. We hope you'd sometime have the guts to stand up and face the questioning from the show But we don't anticipate it happening anytime soon. We do know this, that when the crickets go off, you could be a big winner. Be the seventh caller now, and you've won the Mike Madigan game. He doesn't show up. You show up and win. Now, the reason I bring up Madigan is because he's going to want another one of these six-month or less stopgap measures.
Right, and Durkin said yesterday, don't even try it because we're not going to do another six-month budget.
Yeah, the bare minimum for the job is have a budget that you can work within to do the job. But again, the speaker's not interested in you. He's interested in him. So we will find out whether or not Mr. Durkin shares or does not share that belief on Thursday when he's with us. Meanwhile, the Republican governor and Democrat-controlled General Assembly, as you can imagine, are getting along famously.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fiscal year starts July 1st. Do you have an over or under as to when you think we'll have a budget?
June 31st. And there aren't even 31 days in June.
Say, wait a minute.
Next, President Trump's lawyer, again, needs a lawyer and another one and another one and another one. You may have seen the Trump's lawyer's lawyer last week. Not a guy that instills confidence in you. So he may be bringing in more. Michael Cohen is the lawyer who needs a lawyer, who needs a lawyer. The FBI raid yesterday on the office and hotel room of his longtime personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, opens a new front for the Justice Department. The scrutiny of Mr. Trump and his associates, just so you understand the legal side of this, as best I understand it, and I do believe that this is factual. So, in the course of Mueller's investigation, he says he sees something that he believes to be potential criminal activity by Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. He then tells the Justice Department, his bosses, Rod Rosenstein and company, because Sessions recused himself, he says, I think we have something criminal here. This is not in the scope of my investigation. It's now yours. The Justice Department takes a look at it and says, we agree this is criminal. They then tell Christopher Wray at the FBI, we may need you. Stand by. The Justice Department goes to a judge and says, we need a warrant that we can give to the FBI so they can go in and seize what they need to seize because they're concerned that Michael Cohen is or will possibly destroy evidence.
Right. And Cohen's lawyer, of course, is saying that the search is completely inappropriate and unnecessary.
And a reminder, a search warrant means that there is a probable cause that a crime has been committed.
Or it could be.
Could have been.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah. Right. So the criminal activity in the current or future form. And you can go in to a lawyer's office, even where there's privilege, client-attorney privilege, because there's a thing called the criminal fraud exception. And the criminal fraud exception means if you are potentially committing a crime as a lawyer or a client of a lawyer, your privilege no longer applies. Mm-hmm. They even have something called taint teams. Oh, wait. The taint team is a team that goes over the evidence it sees to make sure that it is all germane to the warrant as it was written and not something that violates the attorney-client privilege or privilege in general, possibly other clients that may have been taken by mistake or taken in the haste of breaking in. Allegedly, it was a no-knock warrant, which means they just come in. Hey, we're here. And the reason Mr. Cohen is living in a hotel room is allegedly because he's having work done at his house. That's the only part of this whole story I can identify with.
Yes.
That's it.
And the taint team.
I've never had a taint team, as far as you know.
Love that term.
Next, Mark Zuckerberg going to face Congress today. Facebook's chief executive going to start 2 days of testimony, the Senate today, the House tomorrow. He met with lawmakers on the Hill yesterday and pre-game activity. This is an interesting process, right? Because the House committee members and the Senate committee members get to sit down with you if you're going to testify and pre-interview you so they can form questions to you and then look like they're pounding on you or sucking up to you, depending on their stand.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a system. We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility. That was a big mistake, Zuckerberg said. He also said yesterday, it's going to be interesting to see what the stock does today, Steve, because Zuckerberg said yesterday that we are going to have to face a significant hit to our profits to make sure we get this right. And it doesn't matter how much money we spend to do it. So it'll be interesting to see where Facebook opens and closes today.
It'll also be interesting, too, to see if the apology that he posted is enough ahead of this testimony and if there could be any sort of a class action lawsuit. Couldn't you see that happening? If users' data was taken.
2 billion members? How many
Facebook
members?
Think about that. Yeah, this could be one of the largest class action suits.
2 billion members, which means everybody gets a penny?
There was a photograph yesterday posted of Zuckerberg meeting with Florida Senator Bill Nelson, and it looked like he was about ready to throw up. He just had a look
Nelson
in his face.
Nelson or Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg.
Okay.
It just looked like he was getting it from both ends, and the look on his face was just like, what have I got myself
into? Well, if you take Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory and you put him in this scenario, it's that character. I mean, it's the same. This is a kid who has invented a thing called Facebook, who is not savvy in these sort of back and forths, and this could be quite ugly.
Mm-hmm. And he knows regulations around the corner, too.
As it should be.
Yes, it should.
Of course, we'd like to know what the government will look like when they're regulating, but, you know, we'll get to that. The most important story of the day, President Trump could order airstrikes against Syria as early as today in response to what he called a, quote, barbaric act of chemical weapons that killed dozens near Damascus over the weekend, including women and children. He again yesterday, and I salute the president for this, he called out Putin again. Yesterday he said Putin could pay a price. Mm-hmm. We don't know why there's a sudden shift in this, but we know that there is. Quack! Quack! Federal government's annual budget deficit is set to balloon to more than $1 trillion by 2020. $1 trillion. That's cartoon money. That's according to projections released by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which means your children's 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 children will not be able to pay for it. $1 trillion in a federal budget deficit.
Can we have the Mint print up a trillion-dollar bill? And
we
just
could,
pay it off?
And then inflation would go crazy, and we'd pay Venezuelan prices for things. And we don't want to do that right now.
Where are the financial conservatives? Where have they gone?
Yeah, the Republican Party used to care about that. Hello. Next. And a new hotel brand makes its debut today in River North, with some of the rooms starting at $24 a night in downtown Chicago. Yeah. $24 a night.
Are those outside rooms? Are they inside, or...
No screens.
The hotel is called Found Chicago. It's in a building that houses single-room occupancy apartments at 613 North Wells. 4 stories tall in the basement, completely gutted and transformed into a 60-room hotel billed as limited-service lodging, aimed at everyone from backpackers to business travelers. So it sounds like, why am I spacing on this? What's the term when you get out of college?
Hostel.
A youth hostel. Sounds like a hostel.
Mm-hmm.
Or... a one-hour motel.
That's what I was thinking.
We're waiting.
Sounds like you would be a little hostile if you had to stay.
Oh, not me. Nope. Not me. No.
It sounds like there are no bunk beds involved here.
No beds involved. No. You just go in a room and stand.
Isn't it that weird thing, though?
Lay on the floor.
Isn't it that weird thing, though, with the prices that low that you're like, then you go,
yeah, it's not for me.
Right.
You know, but not if it were like, you know, $78, you'd be like, okay, maybe.
You could probably find, in certain cases, deals on the internet for less than $100 in Chicago occasionally. Not that often, but occasionally. But $24 a night?
Mm-hmm.
6 blocks from here? Not even that. 3 blocks from here.
I feel bad.
No, Wells? No, it's a little further.
Oh, it's Wells downstairs. Yeah. 6 blocks. Yeah, 6-7 blocks.
I feel bad when tourists say, I'm staying on Michigan Avenue, but it's like 65th in Michigan. It's like, I got to get a little further north.
You have to bring your own blanket and pillow to this place?
I think you have to bring everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Water.
I think it's a room with a door.
And bed bugs.
I don't know. How would how many rooms did I say it was? 60?
Yeah.
60 rooms at $24 a night.
How do you
so if the place is full, they're making $1,400 a night and change. $1,400 a night and change isn't going to pay anything close to the taxes you have to pay for the property.
And yeah, but they make a mean room service.
I was going to say,
you're not getting room service here, honey.
Peanuts are $107. The macadamia nuts are $107.
There's something
some ancillary
we don't
fee.
Know about this story.
No.
Do we know the name of this hotel? Did I say that?
Found Chicago.
Found Chicago is the brand, I think.
Bates.
Oh, it's called Fountain. Oh, it's the Bates Hotel.
Bates. Yeah.
Only your dead mother is allowed. It's 6:22. We will come back in a couple of minutes with some other important information and some that's not so important.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
John DeCostas here, and you know, we haven't done Match Game in a while. Should we play Match Game today?
Oh, I think that would be fun.
All right, so we'll play Match Game today for all the prizes in the world that
wow.
I have in front of me on the prize sheet.
And a one-night stay at?
Found Chicago. I'm sort of fascinated by that story.
You're intrigued.
You looked at pictures?
I looked at a few pictures. It looks kind of nice. The after pictures, the before weren't so good.
It's a good thing you're married.
Why is that?
Because you are a sucker. It looks so nice. Here's what you'd be on Match.com. Look how pretty she is. Oh, look at this one. Oh, my God. They're all beautiful.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. We don't know, right?
It could be great.
Yeah. But this is, what are the bikes? The Divvy bikes. This is Divvy Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
What? So every That's 30 true. Minutes you have to check out of your room?
Sounds like it to me.
Right.
We got a whole bunch of prizes here today. Apt gift cards from ABT.com, Lou Malnati's Pizza from LouMalnati's.com, and a pair of tickets to the Sistine Chapel Choir's first ever performance in Chicago. How cool does that sound?
Wow.
The oldest active choir in the world, the Pope's Choir from Rome, performs at the Erie Crown Theater on July 21st. I wonder if they have concert tickets. At the end of that show, do people get on the shoulders of whoever they came with and pump their fists and ask for an encore?
They crowd surf.
Get tickets starting this Friday, April 13th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster. We'll give those away as well. Text questions. Text questions. We'll have an IRS expert in here, or an expert on taxes, period, after 7 o'clock to answer your questions. You can send those in to 312-981-7200. Back after this with Andre on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
One of the greatest problems on this planet is being solved in part by our Kid of the Week this week. And that's a need for clean water. In Africa in particular, the cost of a well to be dug could be $15,000. I mean, $50,000, that's 5 years' salary in parts of that country. It's a lot of money. But not if you're Catherine. Catherine, I got to get your pronunciation right on your name here. Which line? Okay. Tap dance for me.
You bet. This is very cool. You know, our friend Randy Bellisomo did something like this, too. Remember with Haiti, tried to raise money to build some wells in Haiti, too. So this is quite an undertaking for an 11-year-old.
I go to Catherine now. Catherine, are you with me?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How do you pronounce your last name?
Kozel.
Catherine Kozel. You're 11 years old?
Yes.
All right, so let me see if I have the story right. You had this incredible vacation with your family where you guys got to go to Tanzania on safari.
Yes.
And when you come back, you're going to church one Sunday, and there is a guest speaker who came to talk about the need for clean water and what people have to go through to get clean water in Africa, right?
Yes.
And you were able to put those two together because you saw women carrying water for forever, but you're just, you know, you're a little kid. You didn't put that together until you heard what a big deal it was at church, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. So far we're good. Sounds like she's like, you know, it's a deposition.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, those are yes and no answers.
Catherine, how important was this to you? What about what you saw made this so important to you?
I just sort of felt like lucky to have what I had, and I wanted to help the people that didn't.
Can we call you Kate, by the way?
Yes.
So, Kate, who is Rosemary Grant?
She's a first grade teacher at the school I go to, Prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And she also does the Eco Club Eco Panthers, which I am in. And we did a project last year together, and now we're doing this project together.
If you know about the story of the Lost Boys of Sudan, there's another interesting tie to this, and it involves a book you read, and the book's called A Long Walk to Water. Why did that inspire you?
Because Salva, the main character of the book, started the foundation that we're working with, Water for South Sudan.
Kate, what's the process? So, this is so cool that you're doing this. I know you rallied some of your friends, but what's the process that you have to go through? I mean, do you raise the money and then they build the wells, or do you go back to oversee the building of the wells? Kind of walk us through the process.
So we created a fundraising page, and then the money that gets raised on there or donated on there goes towards our goal of $15,000. And then once we reach that goal, they'll drill a well.
The deal is, too, this is like a domino effect, because if you're able to put one well in a needy area, it can create those dominoes to fall to help build others. $15,000 for a single well, that's a lot of money for an 11-year-old, Kate.
Yeah.
It's probably more than your allowance, huh?
Yes.
Wee bit. And a lot of prospect students. This is why we get excited about kids doing good things, because when one kid does a good thing, it generally inspires other kids to do the same. Kids don't know. You got to tell kids. Kids don't know. Why would a kid know that there is a need for a well, or a charity wishes for wells on the other side of the world? They don't know. So it took all of these particular circumstances to fall in line in this way, and a very bright young lady in Kate to be able to pull this off.
Kate, how would they normally get their water? If you weren't building a well, this is an interesting story, how the women and the girls get the water if they didn't have the well.
So they normally would walk about 6 miles with a jug that could carry about 6 gallons, collect the water, and then walk back, and that would take about a day.
6 gallons of water, really carrying it 6 miles.
For a day. It takes one day to do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just to get water back for the basics your family needs. A lot of kids I know have jumped in. Some kids are saying, don't give me a birthday present or a Christmas present. Whatever money you would spend on that, give it to the cause. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Who else is helping you with your family?
So my mom, so my whole family is helping and donating, and then like my grandparents have donated, and my uncle has agreed to donate half of what we need.
How great is that?
Wow.
What a good uncle.
That's awesome.
That's tremendous. Do you know who Matt Damon is?
No.
Matt Damon is an actor. He's super old. But he's an actor who is part of a charity in Africa that is trying to get clean, fresh water to Africa as well. And we're going to at least make sure that he knows, and his organization knows about you as well. Because, you know, he's a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably even got more money than your uncle. And your uncle sounds loaded.
I've also written a letter to Yu Darvish, the new Cubs pitcher.
Okay.
Because he does work with clean water around the world to see if he'll donate.
I did not know that. How cool is that? The Matt Damon Water Project is water.org, but what we want to know is, what is the website that you have your fundraising page on, and how can we help?
So the link to our fundraising page is tinyurl.com/prospectwater.
Prospect Water, that's at tinyurl.com. Okay, Google any piece of that, and it'll come up for you as well. And we will link it in social, facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, at Cochran Show on Twitter, and, of course, at the WGNRadio.com homepage. You're a good kid. You know that?
Yes.
All right, Kate. Thanks for all the help, and appreciate what you're doing. And I hope you keep this work up for your whole life. Hold on.
Okay,
You know who else needs to know about that is Clooney. George Clooney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since I look so much like Clooney, I could probably get that done.
You know people at the Cubs and within the organization, too. You could probably get that letter.
We do know the water.org guys, right? The water.org guys, it's not like Matt Damon is on the phone, but the water.org guys are very impressive people, and they should know about this as well.
Absolutely.
So.
Very cool.
And I didn't know about Yu Darvish. Did you guys know that?
No.
It's a cool story. Mm-hmm. So, Dave, I look forward to you getting hold of Yu Darvish later and say, let's not worry about pitching. Let's help Kate.
I think he needs to worry about pitching, but not today.
Yeah, he's not working today.
No.
Yeah, he's
off today. He's working. He's not pitching.
Putting on a uniform. He's got time to talk.
And you'll need
Kate
a translator anyway, right?
So, I don't know. How good is his English?
There's a trans. It might require some translation to get the point across.
All right, here's the deal. 6:48. We got to get to what's coming up at 7 o'clock. Right after 7, we'll take your tax questions. People are texting in tax questions now. Those are tax texts. And we'll ask our accountant a few of those, as many as we can, after 7 o'clock.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
If you believe they put a man on the moon, man on the moon.
John DeCoste sitting in with the band, and nice to see John as always. And upstairs on the seventh floor is Steve Grzanich. But right now we've asked him to report live from outer space. Steve?
Rocketing into space right now on the giant rocket.
Yes, and we are using, we should say, one of the rockets from the big shot who does the Tesla. You know the guy I'm talking about?
Elon Musk.
No, his cousin, Phil Musk.
Phil Musk.
Yeah, he's lesser known.
I'm on the Falcon 1 instead of the Falcon 9.
Exactly. All right, so here's the deal. Steve lives in outer space most of the time. Buzz Aldrin was the second man to walk on the moon. Buzz Aldrin is famous for being a wily old coot who just says what he thinks whenever he thinks it. He also said he never got credit. It's a true story. Said he never got credit for his first. He was the first man to pee on the moon because of the things that they had to wear for
like the catheters,
space potties.
Yeah,
and he actually, because of the amount of time they spent on the moon, he had to pee. Gravity notwithstanding. So Steve, he took a lie detector test, I guess, over the weekend.
Well.
Or is this whole story fraudulent?
I think the whole story is fraudulent.
That's what I'm hearing.
The latest reporting on this comes from The Independent in the UK that says this whole thing may have just been a viral hoax. But the idea is that he took a lie detector test to prove one way or the other about what he was allegedly supposed to have said about seeing an alien when he landed on the moon. And he's denying he ever said anything about an alien. In reports, and the Independent now says that this group that brought all of this to our attention over the weekend is a hoax, potentially a hoax.
But technically, isn't he the alien?
Yeah, he would be the alien. You're absolutely right.
So maybe he saw a reflection of himself.
Yeah, maybe he just saw himself in the mirror and go, oh my God.
And that could be the way, if he did take a lie detector test, that he could fool the lie detector.
Yes.
But,
the interesting thing, Steve, that I saw with this is this was only reported by British tabloids.
Yes.
There were like 9 British tabloids that jumped on this story.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned this to me yesterday at our show meeting, and I said, wait a second, I've not heard that yet.
Yeah.
So I immediately went on and started researching, and I'm like, wait a second, this kind of looks hoaxy. But if you're to believe it, though, they gave him a lie detector test and they asked him if he did see an alien, and he said no. My presumption here is that he said no, and the lie detector test caught him in that lie, which proved that he did.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, look what you did there.
Yeah, right.
It's
yeah.
Like reverse. It's right. Like a reverse right. Lie detector.
But it all smells to high heavens.
Yeah.
I would love to believe this story. I would love to think this was true and that maybe we had something to go on.
Well,
here.
Let's ask.
I want to believe.
Let's ask the kids back here on Earth, including you, Steve, still out in outer space. Do you believe we're alone? I don't. I don't at all.
No.
I believe there's absolutely other life forms out there.
And it's just a mathematical equation. If you think about all of the planets that we've discovered just in the last couple of years with the Kepler Space Telescope, all of the stars, everything that's out, it's just mind-boggling to think that we would be the only place in the solar system, in the universe, where there's life. That just is crazy to me.
It's a lot of ego.
See, I think I'm on the opposite side of this.
Do you think we're alone?
I think we're alone. I think there's vegetation and plant life and things like that, but I don't think there's little green monsters or little green aliens.
Well, we don't know what they look like.
Different planets.
God didn't make little green monsters.
Here's the thing. If there are little green monsters on another planet, we're the weird-looking ones.
Yeah, we are.
Yes. Right. And it doesn't have to be even little green monsters. There was a story last week, and this is from a science journal, that there may actually be life in Venus, in the gases of Venus's atmosphere. What's left of the atmosphere.
It says Bananarama.
Yeah, so there could be just some sort of bacterial life that's in the clouds there. That would be life on another planet.
I think the funniest thing, though, is you reading the British tabloids, because you found this story. I mean, I know you do a lot
of reading.
Well,
it's just a show prep.
Stuff,
it's a night of show prep.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a couple hours every night that you have to read everything you can find.
Uh-huh.
And this kept showing up
on these
news aggregators, but it was all Brits.
Right.
And don't feel bad, Steve. According to the Independent story, hundreds of millions of people have read this story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not alone. This is when they say something has gone viral, this is an exact example of why.
I only believe crap written as rumor by Brits.
I don't know if this helps. Buzz Aldrin, you know, the Johnny on the spot here on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He started his own company, Jupatiors.
Oh, I didn't know that. What a good name for it. Right? Totally. Do you believe we're alone?
You mean in this room?
No. In outer space. Are there other people?
I do believe. I actually do.
You believe that there are other life forms?
I do believe there's other life forms.
Dave, do you believe there are other life forms? And do you believe they can play basketball?
Well, I doubt they can play basketball.
Okay.
I Can I think about it a little bit?
No, you should know this answer. You're a grown-up. You should know by now whether or not you believe there is another life form out there. I need an answer right now.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's incorrect. Oh. No.
Yeah, what's really disappointing is that
we're wrong.
You know, those of us who do believe that there's life out there, it comes back to the question: well, why haven't we found it yet? Why haven't they?
How do we know they haven't found us?
Well, it's possible. Oh,
maybe
they have.
We're the inferior life form,
very likely that that's the case.
Wasn't that the basis of the movie Contact? And
that and about 900 other movies.
Well, yeah, taken from the Carl Sagan book.
Mm-hmm.
That,
well,
they did
that
try
Jodie
to reach
Foster's
out.
An alien.
Yes,
I think that's,
but and Matthew McConaughey.
It's also the overriding theme of Star Trek too, though. You don't go to an alien place and interfere in their life. You know, it's the prime directive. You just don't get involved.
Nobody likes the drop by.
No,
nobody likes the drop by without a call. You know, if you just drop by without a call, I got to have snacks, I got to have beverages. Nobody likes to drop by. You swing into my planet, I'm not ready for guests.
Right.
Well, and they could have been here and just zapped our memories after we saw them.
Oh, like the men in black light.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You don't know their dietary needs.
No,
I mean, it's a big thing going on.
You know, if there's anybody on this show that's an alien, it's got to be Sandberg.
No, that's definitely not true.
No, and here's why. Because she has no patience for us. We're the inferior life form. And she comes from her own planet where everything is organized and in its place. And she's very frustrated with us. She's the alien.
Do you think she zapped our memories at some point?
I don't know, but she's from the planet Neatnik.
She doesn't have one eye, though. Why do aliens always have to have one eye and big heads?
Because you watch a lot of movies.
Yes.
Mary Vandeveld, do you believe in life out there?
I do.
There's Super Joe, do you believe in life out there?
Where do you think I came from?
It's a fair point as well. And I won't ask Sandberg because she has to get back on her ship. Let's take a break and come back. We'll get your tax questions answered next hour. And we continue Steve Cochran Show, number 1121. This is 720 WGN.
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Taxes? Isn't this the line from Metallica?
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Because I'm an idiot. Happy?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Our friend Louis Sands is here, 712 now, and appreciate you taking a couple of minutes away from the office, but I'm guessing you're happy to keep me out of the office.
That's right. My pleasure. It's a bit of a field trip for me right now.
What's the name of the office?
Sikich, headquartered in Naperville, Sikich.
And how's business? Through the roof?
Very busy this time of year, and we're typically busy this time of year, but ever since basically the end of last year with the new tax law and everything, we've pretty much been going full bore for a couple months now.
Let me start there. So a lot of us paid our property taxes ahead by New Year's Eve,
mm-hmm.
With the idea being that this tax year, we won't be able to deduct them. What do we know from the IRS? Are they going to be okay, and how do we handle it?
Two very different questions. You probably wouldn't have been able to deduct because you would have been limited to $10,000. So the idea being that between your personal income tax and your real estate tax, you're going to be far in excess. So I'll try and pay it early, assuming I'm not in the alternative minimum tax. I might get a break, or you know, I definitely won't next year. The IRS hasn't necessarily come down and said, yes, you've got our blessing on this. But they, you know, if you recall, people were going to pay their individual taxes first, and then they came back and said no on that.
Well, how are you supposed to handle it now? Because you got to file for people, hundreds and hundreds of people by next week who I'm sure did this.
We just have to do the best that we can. If they've got, you know, there were certain local areas where they said if it was paid and paid before the year end and it was assessed and ascertainable, then you can try to take the deduction. And you know, the key, Steve, is to have communication with your clients, because it's not as black and white as you'd like it to be.
But why wouldn't the IRS have ruled on this by now? You guys should have had a ruling on this a month ago, 2 months ago.
The last time, back in 1986, that they overhauled the tax code, it took 11 or I think 13 months to do.
It's just ridiculous.
They did it in 8 weeks this time, and that's it's not if they you know, cut some corners or missed some things. It's what was missed. And
this is the insanity of this, because when thousands and thousands of people, I'm sure it was over millions of people, lined up before New Year's Eve to pay their taxes in advance because they thought they would get an advantage, the IRS and somebody in the federal government should have stepped in and went, no. Or at least, we don't know, so don't stand in line.
Or we don't know, so do what you... The checks got cashed. I can promise you that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, you know, we start to hear some things from your local congressman saying that there's lobbyists. We're gonna protect these payments and whatnot. So really, you're in a position of take it with the possibility that it might get disallowed. Don't take it with the idea that it... may be allowed, and you have to go back and amend. So it's kind of, as long as you have communication with the client in advance, and
you just, from an accountant standpoint,
it's difficult.
In many cases, you would take it, but you warn the client this may kick back.
That's right.
All right, got it. Other questions?
Okay, I want to ask about charitable contributions. What can be deducted now, and how that's going to change next year? Because I know toward the end of the year, at least for me, and a lot of people do this, mm-hmm. you make your donations to whether it be Salvation Army or whatnot. Will we be able to? Can we itemize that now? Can we do it next year? And donations too? Can we take those on?
Yes, to okay. answer all your questions.
Okay,
but you probably want
Thank
some
you.
Detail on the charitable contributions is one of the areas that was not negatively impacted by the new tax law. In fact, it doesn't necessarily apply to most people. It was actually made easier. You were previously limited to one half of your adjusted gross income for deductions. That's actually gone up to 60%. Doesn't hit most people, but still, that's one of the itemized deductions that still exists. That, you know, there really are no changes from 17 to 18 in terms of what's a qualified deduction. You donations, I think you probably mean like Goodwill.
Sure. Yes.
It's the same standard.
Special
it's got to be
Olympics,
in, it, without
like
a doubt.
Yeah.
It's got to be in, if it's non-cash, it's got to be in good working, you know, good condition, and you've got to assess the fair market value of it. That's an area where people are, it's often abused. You know, I gave a suit away that was a $7,000 suit. No.
It's a really sweet suit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I gave it away.
Dave.
Okay.
Well, I was going to ask about that, but also medical, mm-hmm. Because I never seem, thankfully, I don't have the kind of medical expenses that
the bar is so high.
Yeah. I mean, how do you, where is the bar now and how do you get to it?
The bar is, first of all, it's just like charitables and mortgage interest for the most part. Deduction for medical expenses still exists. That didn't go away with the new mm-hmm. tax law. You still, but you're, Steve, you have to clear 7.5% of your adjusted gross income before it starts being.
You got to be really sick.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is typically if you make any real amount of income and you have insurance, it's very difficult to get a deductible expense. If your income goes lower, or then if you start paying, you know, mm-hmm. certain long-term care or premiums and things like that.
So that 7.5% needs to be out of pocket beyond what insurance pays.
If your adjusted gross income is $100,000 and it's got to be unreimbursed, mm-hmm. the $7,501 is the first one that is deductible for you.
So there's not a lot of people I would think that would qualify for that.
No, but there, you know, where we do see a good amount of that is with some of our more elderly clients. You can, even if you're completely wealthy, it's not based on your net worth, it's based on your income. So if you've got pretty standard income, maybe
that's
just on Social Security,
and
your income is lower, but that's typically when you're going to see your medical expenses, prescriptions, dental, all these things right. kind of fall into that bucket. We do have several clients that have it. And then one of the other things we talk about is grouping, for the lack of a better word. If it's you know, November, December, these sorts of things, and you're nowhere near your limit, and you're thinking about doing something that would be a deduction, if you wait till next year, maybe if you can group those in, 19 would be a better year. I mean, to the extent you can't decide when you're going to have an emergency, but when you have any control over it, it's worth, you know, just planning a little bit.
Mary Vandeveld, John, we'll get you guys in here in just a second, but let me get to some text questions here. If you're getting a refund, do you have to file by the 16th? How long do you have to file?
If you're getting a refund,
you still have to file on time, right?
Well, I mean, you do. It's actually the 17th. You know,
that's a good point.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
That. We want, let's assume it's the 15th if you want to. The fact is, the tax return is due on the 17th. If it's late, which is if you don't file or file for an extension, then there's penalties and interest, but those penalties and interest are based on the liability. So if you're getting $10,000 back, your penalties is, you know, whatever the number is, 5% of what you, if you don't owe anything, mm-hmm. then it doesn't hurt you, except for the fact, I mean, if I told you I had $5,000 sitting in my house, come get it whenever you want, most people wouldn't wait a couple hundred days to do so. I mean, right. you should probably come get it, number one, just for obvious reasons, and then secondly, the number one way that we've been uncovering lately identity theft is through tax return filings. You try to file your return, the IRS says, we've already got it. No, you don't. Someone else filed a return on your behalf. If there's no reason to wait, short of procrastination, you're giving people more and more time to file a return under you. Or it's already been done, and that's that much longer before you flush it out.
Before you find out.
Yeah.
This is kind of specific. Wife has credit cards. Collection agency becomes involved. All three cards had partial balance is forgiven. Those are taxed as income cumulatively or separately. Three cards, maybe a couple $100 on one, $500 on another, $300, maybe $1,000. Would it be the $1,000 or each card separately would be taxed?
Each I mean, it would be each card separately. The question is whether or not you would get a 1099 for that income. It, typically, you won't get a 1099 until you clear like $600. So in theory, you could have $500 and you don't get a 1099 for it, and you're still supposed to report that income. That's the answer. But it's a lot more likely to be reported if there's a 1099 that's filed with the government and whatnot.
So much of this is the honor system.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's true. And typically around this time of year, the Pete Roses, the Imelda Marr, the IRS will pick a high-profile celebrity, Wesley Snipes, etc., where they'll go after them to make an example out of somebody so that the rest of us fall in line. And because there's no way, with however many hundreds of millions of people there are filing tax returns, that they have the resources or the time to within the 3-year yeah. statute of limitation to get it all, even computerized and whatnot. It's impossible.
But roll the dice. See if the IRS can catch you. We'll come back and do more in a second. Michael Zeldin is here. He works for Sikich and... Sikich and Sikich?
No, just plain old Sikich. Sikich
Lewis LLP. Sands. What did I just call you?
Michael Zeldin.
I just called you Michael Zeldin. That's a guest in 20 minutes. I'm prepping ahead. 720.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Lightning round time. Lewis Sands is here. He's never even met Michael Zeldin. And Lewis is answering as many tax questions as possible. When you spend money to repair or purchase items for rental property, what percentage of the total price can you deduct?
Well, I would need more information.
There's no easy answer.
The answer is it's all going to be deductible at some point, whether or not you get to expense it all right now versus if it's a capital expense, more of a roof repair, something that adds to the useful life, that may have to get depreciated over the course of time. But at some point, it's all going to be.
There's a new question, 309. If you live and work for a company out of the country, but you also make money on YouTube, do you pay American taxes for it?
Are you a U.S. citizen?
I am. I can't speak for this texter.
Michael, if you're a U.S. citizen, I don't care where you earn money. The U.S. government wants you to file it. And now there's foreign tax credits. So if you pay tax to a foreign, you know, YouTube, that's a good example. One of the other things that we're seeing a lot this year are these, the kids are calling the side gigs, the Ubers.
Yeah.
That'd be a side hustle.
Thank you, Mary.
No problem.
The dog walkers. Whether or not you get a 1099, a W-2, a K-1, you're still support, you know, waitresses, many getting tips, you're supposed to pay tax on that.
If you get a 1099, you got to report it.
Without a doubt. If you don't get a 1099, you're still supposed to report.
Right. Honor system.
Right.
Deductions for child care, different now?
No.
Okay, so that's still solid?
No.
All right.
They still exist. That's great because there was a lot of talk that
they were going to go away.
They were going to go away.
810 area code. Credit card cash back rewards income? I mean, it's got to be enough, right?
It's got to be. Technically, yes, but I mean, it's income. It's no different than gambling income. Now, again, there's the right answer, and then there's how do you typically try to quantify it and things like that. But you know, on the radio, cashback, absolutely, that's taxable.
Yeah. K-1 comes up a couple times. Here, are the questions: if nothing appears in Part 3 of a K-1 that I receive, do I have to file? And then there's this. We filed our taxes, getting a $5,000 refund after we got our K-1. What is a K-1?
A K-1 is what you would typically get from a partnership or an LLC. It's the equivalent of a W-2 if you're in a partnership.
Okay.
It shows your piece of the income.
We prepared our amendment after receiving the K-1, and now it reflects we owe $11,000. Do we wait for the $5,000 refund to be processed and then file, meaning we only owe $6,000? How do we proceed?
That's a good question. Typically, you'd get this a couple months later after you would have already received the check, or perhaps if you would have applied your refund. It's seen, if you're going to amend your return, let's say you got $100,000 back and this was going to knock that down to 99, you still get the $100,000, you've got to pay in that extra one. It's seen separately and apart. So to answer your question, they still owe, what was it, the 11. They might want to technically wait until they get the 5 to ease the cash flow hit on it.
Yeah.
Net, they'll only owe 6, but they're not going to necessarily offset that if they've already got the check. Now, if they don't, they can also wait and see if they'll just hold, they won't just hold the check because they don't know that amended return is coming.
Ignorance of the law is not usually a defense. What about ignorance of tax rules?
Oh.
Can I get audited and go, I didn't know?
Sure, you can try. Yeah, and realistically, if you prepared your own tax return, that's a lot more likely to work. I mean, it's technically you owe, but then there's, you know, you can throw yourself on the mercy of whoever it is you're
just
talking
weep
to.
Openly.
Now, if you've got a, you know, someone that is a paid taxpayer, it's a lot more difficult to.
Right.
I would have a harder time doing that than you would, because it's what I
who does your taxes?
I do. Sickich LLP.
Well, filing a 1099-Q for college tuition in my daughter's name get her a refund. She had zero income.
No.
Any money coming back to dad for that?
Right. I mean, the whole qualified tuition is a slippery slope. If people get scholarships, and then there's credits that you can get. There's work. There's lifetime learning credits. There's American Opportunity credits, and these sorts of things. But typically, it's capped. You can only do it for so many years, and it's limited by certain amounts of income. And
I didn't finish that other K-1. Did I? Part three of a K-1 shows nothing. Do I still have to file?
I'd have to be looking at a K-1 to see what part three is. In general, if you get a K-1 and it doesn't have any of the bells and what the income numbers or
right.
You don't have to file if there's no numbers on it, but you probably want to, because just if you're looking at the interest, the capital gains, the income, there might not be numbers there, but you look a little deeper, there might be charitable contributions flowing through there might be deductions on there that you might get benefit for. If there's literally nothing on the K-1, that isn't the reason you're filing your return.
Over the road truck drivers, does my per diem deduction get removed going forward?
No.
Itemizing medical expenses, can you include your health insurance premiums? No. Right, what you're paying for your premiums?
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, unless you're part of an employer.
Well, that's the upside of getting screwed on health insurance.
Well, there's any number of rules, but as we were talking about earlier with the elderly people, with the Medicare and Social Security, there's certain amounts of withheld, and you can those go towards your, now they got to be in excess of 7.5% of your adjusted gross income.
708, my father-in-law is a permanent resident. Only income was a profit of $8,000 from a stock sale. Does he need to file taxes?
$8,000 from a stock sale, presumably long term, 20%. So he's going to owe that's, you know, that's about $1,600 in tax. If he's a permanent resident, he probably wouldn't trip up any kind of a tax liability. So he probably, I mean, in a vacuum, if that's the only fact, then he probably wouldn't need to. That income wouldn't be enough to throw him into the point where he would owe money. So he doesn't necessarily need to file a return.
Van Veld, you got anything? Take your time, Mary. Put those headphones on. We're on the air. Take your time.
Sorry, I was looking up an accident.
Do you have a question? No, you're okay.
Yeah,
all right, we'll see at the.
Good. I got my return.
We'll see at the audit. Hey, Sandberg?
I have a question about the home office deduction. I actually use our home office, and I don't let the kids in there because I know I was told at one time that the home office has to be just used for work.
It's good to use.
Well, the kids can go in; they just can't work there.
You're not supposed to. It's supposed to be treated as a home office.
Well, you can take my kids to work day. I took them in the office.
My husband uses our bedroom as the home office for him. And so I feel the home office deduction should be increased because it's more space in the house than...
Well, there's so many steps you have to go through, right? To prove it's a home office?
Yeah. I could take pictures.
It's like
him lounging in the bed.
Percentage of the square feet of your house or something?
Do you painting with a very broad brush, you don't want to do that. Because there's no way that you'd have to bifurcate the time, right? I mean, you do use your bedroom for some non-business. You're sleeping. You'd have to figure out how many hours a day. Then you'd have to break it up. As a general...
What if you sleep at work?
Well, make sure you sleep in the other office.
Yeah.
I mean, the home office deduction is a little bit difficult for a couple of reasons. If I'd have to be honest, I'd typically try to steer people. I mean, in some instances, it's great, but you know, the situation is you're effectively, no pun intended, you're mortgaging the future, because you get a certain deduction. There's certain if it's 1/10 of your house, easy math, you're going to get some depreciation. You're going to get some benefit. Now, when you sell that house, if you're married, you get $500,000 of appreciation that's tax free. Not if you have a home office. If you bought it for $2,000 and sold it for $3,000. That's only $100,000. You don't typically have to pay tax, but any depreciation you took, you have to grab it back, and that's ordinary income. So it's just a timing thing. And that's not to say it's not good for everybody, but that's important to know.
We're going to continue to pepper you with questions off the air for our own benefit. But last thing, people filing extensions now, what do they need to do?
The most important thing to remember is you get an automatic 6 months to October 15th. It's an extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay. So you need to try to figure out as best you can what you owe. You pay that in, and you file the extension again by Tuesday, April 17th.
Yeah, and it's easy to file. It's a one pager.
It's very easy, and you can do it electronically in most instances, and probably should. Okay. You know, yeah.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for having
Thanks for the help. I'm sorry you have to go back to work now.
It's his championship week.
It's Lewis Sands. It's Sikich, the accounting firm in Naperville. They do wonderful work, and Lewis does as well. And we always appreciate your help.
Thanks
great
for having
resource.
Me. Appreciate it.
Michael Zeldin knows Robert Mueller very well. We'll find out what he thinks about what happened yesterday after the headlines, which is next at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Michael Zeldin's all over your television, and for good reason. An expert on sanctions and money laundering and terrorist financing. He knows white-collar crime, and he knows what he's talking about in relation in particular to Robert Mueller, who he worked with on a close level and knows well. And Mr. Zeldin, I'm a fan. I appreciate the work you do every day on television.
Well, thank you very much. You and my mom both know.
Yeah, well, your mom called and told me to say that.
Oh, she paid you.
And I know you know our friend Pat Brady, who says hello.
I do. He's a good guy.
He is a good man. Big surprises yesterday for the rest of us. Did the move surprise you?
Well, are you talking about the Cubs being snowed out or
Yes, well, we were fairly surprised by that. I'm referring more to the Cohen raid.
All right, we'll stick to Cohen then. Yes, I was not anticipating this. I don't know that anyone was. Maybe Cohen was. I'm told the president was given a heads up that it was going to happen during the course of the day. But, I mean, the one thing that's true about this investigation, as opposed to other investigations that I've covered, either as a lawyer or as a commentator, was that there aren't many leaks coming out of law enforcement, and so it was a surprise for sure, yes.
And in that surprise, we need to make sure that folks understand the clarity of what we do know, and that is that Mr. Mueller appeared to have found something that he believed was problematic, that didn't fall under the general purview of his investigation, that he takes to the Justice Department. They agree. They ask a judge for a warrant. The warrant's granted. The Justice Department asks the FBI to act. Are those the steps?
Yes, I think so, although it's early in the reporting, so there are a couple of things that are unknowns to me. One is, what's the scope of the inquiry? Does it relate to Cohen and Stormy Daniels, Cohen as a lawyer for the Trump Organization, Cohen as fixer for President Trump personally? We don't know what the scope of the search was. There's talk that it may involve bank fraud and wire fraud and other activity related to Cohen in his practice as an attorney. So that's the first thing. We don't know what it's about. But we do seem to know, and we don't know whether it pre-exists Mueller, and that Mueller came across something additional that the Southern District of New York was already onto, and that was the proverbial last straw. But assuming the reporting, which is Mueller's doing his investigation. In the course of his investigation, he comes across something that's unknown to anybody. He then sees what this unknown thing is, and it looks to him as potentially criminal. Under his mandate, the law that governs his behavior, there's a Code of Federal Regulation 600.4B, if anyone wants to look it up. And what it says is that Mueller is to go to the Attorney General, in this case Rosenstein, we think, because remember, if it's untethered to the Russia investigation, then theoretically the Attorney General Sessions could have been involved in this because he's not recused from things disconnected to Mueller. But again, let's assume Mueller comes across something in the course of his investigation that he has to take under the regulations to Rosenstein, acting AG.
Uh-huh.
And he says to Rosenstein, a matter has come to light in the course of my investigation, which potentially is criminal. Under the regulations, I have to come to you now and say, what do you want to do? Do you want me to keep it, or are you going to sign it?
That makes sense.
It's an important distinction.
Yep. And then, so, what we understand is that he went there and he said, do you want me to keep it, or do you want to sign it elsewhere? He said, thank you very much. This is disconnected to your investigation, notwithstanding the fact that you may have found the initial inquiry evidence.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take it from here. And he assigned it to Jeff Berman. Now, Jeff Berman is the interim United States attorney appointed by Jeff Sessions to fill the slot of the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney's Office. So Manhattan is Southern District of New York. So Rosenstein goes to Berman and says, this is all yours. Berman, because this involves a lawyer, has to get approval for any sort of search at the highest levels, not only within his office, meaning himself, but at the FBI and at the Justice Department. So my expectation is that the people who conferred to determine whether they should go forward with this search of an attorney's office were Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, Jeff Berman, the interim U.S. attorney appointed by Jeff Sessions, the fellow whose name I'm forgetting, who's the head of the criminal division, the assistant attorney general for the criminal division, and Rosenstein. They all determined this is worthy of inquiry. They then have to put together an affidavit signed off by the FBI that says to a judge, Judge, we found something which is potentially criminal, and we believe that the evidence of that criminal behavior resides in these three spaces, the attorney's office, the home, his home, and the hotel room that he was living in. And the judge has to say, I agree, there is probable cause, I sign and issue your warrants, go forward and execute. And that's what I think is the process here. So pretty much the system worked.
And not only did the system work, because there are so many people involved in this and so many steps involved, the president would like you to think this is some attack on the president based on his words yesterday, and that these are a bunch of, quote, Democrats gaming the system, using words like they broke in. They didn't break in. They had a warrant. They're not Democrats. As a matter of fact, politically, they're Republicans, and all the key people mentioned in this conversation are appointees by Trump or the Trump administration. There's no conspiracy here. The law appears to have been followed to a T, and that's important. Andrea.
Michael, good morning. I needed a float. How are you? I needed a flow chart, but I followed you all the way up until Jeff Sessions, and I'm just curious, at what point would he recuse himself for this? It seems to me he's walking a very thin line. Will you expect him to recuse himself from any of this?
Or I don't think he'll recuse himself from anything for the rest of his life.
Right, or only with regard to Russian meddling, and then this, again, walking such a thin line, this could lead to that indictment as well.
Well, Jeff Sessions is in a complicated position. First of all, I think it is accurate to say that when he recused himself, he did what the law required of him.
Right.
Under the law that governs recusals, you cannot work on a matter as an attorney in the Justice Department with respect to a political campaign of which you were a part. Those regulations have been in existence forever and a day, and so when the president appointed Jeff Sessions and knew that Jeff Sessions worked on his campaign, someone should have told him, if he didn't know already, that Jeff Sessions would have to recuse himself were there any investigation of his campaign. And it was known pretty early that there was going to be an investigation of the campaign, because Comey testified to that in March of that year. So he's recused from anything Russia-related, but we see that the Attorney General has stayed on in his capacity as Attorney General when it came to the firing of Mike McCabe. McCabe was the deputy FBI director. He seemed to have been connected somehow to the Russia investigation, yet Sessions believed that that recusal of his didn't require him to recuse himself from McCabe.
Yeah, he's tiptoeing. He's tiptoeing on a gray line here.
Right.
And so maybe he feels the same way with respect to Michael Cohen, that this is just one step removed from Russia so he could participate in it. We just don't know. But either way, whether it was Sessions or Rosenstein, I think from the standpoint of the process working, it worked fine. Except, of course, the president is quite upset about this, and you know, it's understandable in some respects, but he's mistaken when he says, as you said, Steve, that it was a break-in, illegally done by Mueller as part of a witch hunt. All of those things are just factually not correct.
And another thing I learned from you and from others last night in watching the coverage of this is just because you're an attorney and you have privilege with a client doesn't mean that any sort of criminal activity would be protected. There's something called the criminal fraud exception and taint teams that try to protect privilege as it's appropriate, but not in the case of a situation where you need evidence based on a crime and possibly having an attorney that can be destroying evidence in that case. That's what we think we know. But what I want to get to here, because I know you're pressed.
And one other thing to that, you're absolutely correct in your recitation of attorney-client privilege, that attorneys and their clients can't conspire to commit crimes and then hide the evidence of their criminality behind the attorney-client relationship. The other thing is, and this is complicated with respect to Michael Cohen, is that in order for there to be an attorney-client privilege, the attorney and the client have to be talking about legal advice. It can't be about business advice. And so Michael Cohen wears multiple hats, it seems, in the Trump organization. And if he was providing business counsel, it would be, as my advice to you as a business matter, to take Stormy Daniels, put an end to this. That would not necessarily even fall within the attorney-client privilege because he wasn't seeking legal advice. He was talking about business advice. So again, these are all, you know, gray areas and fine lines, but it's not clear when one says that the attorney-client relationship was pierced somehow that that's in fact factually correct.
The Republican-controlled Congress has passed on multiple opportunities to provide legal protection to the special counselor's office. That means that the president still could find a way, though it's complicated in a constitutional crisis potentially, to fire Bob Mueller. Mr. Mueller appears to be, for obvious and not so obvious reasons, about five steps ahead of the rest of us. I would assume this has all been gamed out by his office. If, in fact, I'm fired, this will happen to the evidence in the investigation we've accumulated so far. Is that true?
I would think that's correct. And if you look for precedent, you see Richard Nixon firing Archibald Cox. So Archibald Cox gets fired. Ultimately, the firing is by the Solicitor General because the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General refused to carry out the order because they felt it was illegal. And Rosenstein, interestingly, has said the same, that he would resign rather than fire Mueller if the order was illegal. But assuming they found somebody to fire Mueller, what we saw in the Watergate case was they fired Archibald Cox, who sits in the same position as does Mueller now, and all that happened was a new attorney was appointed, Leon Jaworski, who carried on mostly using the staff of Archibald Cox. And so this is not a situation where if you fire the special counsel, the case goes away. It just carries on, probably with the same staff, with a new person whose name we have to figure out how to spell, whether it's Mueller or Mueller, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there it goes. And now you have to deal with, as the president, whether or not that act of firing was done with corrupt intent and will be a factor in consideration as to whether you abused your office. So it's just, from a legal standpoint, about the silliest thought process that one could go in to think that I am going to fire the special prosecutor and have it go away. We saw that with Comey. Remember, he says,
oh, sure.
The president does, I fired Comey to take pressure off me in the Russia
industry. Not so much.
That's what he said. It was actually the exact opposite. It just ratcheted up the pressure and added a whole new work stream that wouldn't have otherwise been there, which is called obstruction of justice. So hopefully cooler heads will prevail today. But, you know, I understand the president's anger about this yesterday because he doesn't believe there's validity to this, and it's hanging around, and that's an annoyance.
We'll see you throughout the day on CNN, and we really appreciate your time and hope we can talk again.
Anytime you want. Maybe we can even do it when baseball is played in Chicago.
Listen, I've got tickets for you anytime you need them.
All righty.
Thank you.
Deal.
Michael Zeldin, who again knows Mr. Mueller very well. That's a great point you made on the Sessions, a potential second recusal. Can you imagine if he recused himself again? Trump's head would explode.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. And then yesterday, again, he alludes to, well, he didn't allude to it. He said it. Well, I should just fire Mueller. Everybody's telling me to do it. Oh, my God.
I'm going to play that clip you're talking about coming up because we can break it down a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards, good morning to you.
Steve Cochran, good morning to you. I don't know if you've been reading your company emails, but we're changing. I don't exactly 100% understand all this, but I guess we're changing from one email system to another.
Yeah, we're going on Hillary Clinton's old email server. She's not using it anymore.
And So they have to like move over all the stuff we have in our email accounts into the new thing.
I believe it's called migrating. We have to migrate your email.
We're migrating. So what would be the best time, say, you know, if we're on the air and doing like a live show?
I'd say during the highly rated Channel 9 Morning News and the highly rated Steve Cochran show. Yeah. Those would be the times to start screwing with things.
That's just what happened a couple of minutes ago.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So I have, well, let's see. The last email I have here, Steve, congratulations. Welcome to WGN.
September of 2013.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
It said it's not supposed to happen until tomorrow.
Well, they didn't think they could annoy Dean enough tomorrow, so they wanted to get a jump on it.
I think they're doing them differently. A TV. Oh, something's clicking.
Apparently, we're out of time.
Something's happening. Yeah. They're doing them at different times at radio and TV. So they can mess with you guys. Probably, you know, like during a, you know, some critical news bulletin or something, though.
Well, normally we swap notes, and by that I mean Dean sends notes, and it gives us an idea of what we might go to for our tomfoolery here.
Right.
And we don't have notes for the tomfoolery, so would you like to just
I actually sent my notes early today thinking
that it would be in the system.
What if they mess around with all this stuff, and then we're going to be dead?
Mm-hmm.
We can't have Lib, you and I can't have.
No, we've never.
Can't talk off the top.
I don't even know you. So, would you mind if I just threw your random topics and you made up crap, even if you don't know?
Okay, sure.
All right. Let me just get to my entertainment tab here in my news.
All you lawyers listening, you may want to get out your notepads.
Don Knotts' daughter said she had to leave his deathbed to laugh. What are we talking about there?
Well, you know, Don Knotts was quite the comedian.
He was funny. He was a funny little guy.
And, you know, laying on his deathbed, everyone around him did not find the same humor as he did when he uttered his final words, "Nip it!"
Nip it!
Untrue. That's an untrue story.
I got a bullet in my pocket, got my gun, never cock it. Sorry, sometimes I just randomly spout off. But that is a story. We don't know why.
We
just know it's out there. That's actually a story that's out there today.
I like my version better.
I do, too. Charlie Rose supposedly doing an expose, and CBS executives are, quote, freaking out.
Apparently, they are panicked because they this is a true story, that they are panicked because they are trying to avoid the appearance that they did, that they knew about the instances of sexual abuse and did nothing about it for a very, very long time. So CBS is trying to get non-disclosure people that work on their show, you know, people who had some familiarity with it, sign non-disclosure agreements about this. They're, you know, trying to keep it all in-house.
This is quite the story. I don't know if you know this, but Seth Meyers went to Northwestern with Dave.
I didn't know that he went with Dave.
Much
I knew
later
that he went with Northwestern.
Okay, it was long after me, so you didn't need to add that.
Oh, okay. Seth is married to a lovely woman named Alexi.
Yeah, and she had a baby in the lobby of their building last night.
They should have gone to a hospital.
Well, they were trying to.
Oh.
This is their second child.
Where was the other one born? The gym?
Well, the other one, he told the full story about this. I guess it happened on Sunday, not last night, but he... their first child was born. They just got to the hospital in the nick of time, like with 20 minutes to spare. So
what's with the express lane birthing going on here?
Well, it's not intentional, I guess. Her
honey, my water broke.
All that. So
some women just go really fast.
That's apparently what happens with
crazy.
This. He said that they were sitting around on Sunday. They had brunch. They're talking. And then suddenly, somebody in the apartment started making this sound.
And they went, "What is Steve doing here?"
According to the speed sound effects I'm using, they have five kids now.
Yeah.
She said, "I'm in excruciating pain. We have to go right now." And he's trying to calm her down, saying, "Honey, it's all right. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine." And she's ready to rip his head off, saying, "We have to go right now.
Shut up. Let's go."
They call for an Uber, which I'm not sure Uber would be my choice.
Are you sure it wasn't the new Uberlance? Because they would need an ambulance, I would think.
Because sometimes Ubers are a little bit delayed in when they say
that. Especially in New York. You can't get anywhere in New York.
Especially in New York. I think I might have called 911 for something like that. But anyway, that's what he did. They get in the elevator in their fancy high-rise building. They go down into the lobby of their building, and she says, the baby is coming right now. And he's trying to calm her down, calm her down. They had a friend with her who is a midwife. And, you know,
well, that's convenient.
The midwife checks her out and said, the head is out.
And that's in the lobby of the hotel.
This is in the lobby of the building.
This is where you really have to tip the doorman.
Words you don't want to hear in the hotel lobby.
Yeah. Right. So she lays down in the lobby and continues giving birth. In the meantime, you know, the next 5 minutes, the baby's born. You know, he's saying that, you know, the baby is almost entirely out at this point by the time the fire department and the police show up. But they did, and the baby was born healthy. Everybody's fine. And that's the end of the story.
Well, it's a great story. I mean, you know, obviously, it ended well. And it's a great story for them to tell. And she's probably still angry at her husband for going, we're fine.
Let's call an Uber.
We're fine. You haven't made a vit noise. We're fine.
He was trying to calm her down. He was trying to be, you know, she was, you know, screaming and yelling, as you might expect of somebody who's
making it all about her.
About birth. But he did say that afterwards that he's really proud of the way that he reacted to the whole thing.
It's hilarious.
We had a friend, actually a photographer from Channel 9, Dean, that we know, his name's Steve as well, not you, but his wife was, she said the same thing. She said, come on, we have to go to the hospital. He said, oh, we'll be fine. It was kind of late in the evening. We'll be fine. She starts having the baby. They get on the Ryan. He had to pull over, I think, at 87th Street, and they had the baby right on the side of the Dan Ryan.
Wow.
Baby is okay?
Baby's great, yeah.
Okay.
2 years old now.
When we come back, why did Fleetwood Mac fire Lindsey Buckingham again?
That's a good story. Go ahead.
And I love this story. Two Milwaukee TV guys are at a Brewers-Cubs game. And one of the Milwaukee TV guys is trashing this woman that works with the first guy, who everybody knows because it's the TV business. Turns out the first guy's dating that girl.
Oh.
And he punches the second guy in the face.
Oh, come on.
Wow. So when we come back, which Chicago television personality is most likely to punch what other Chicago television personality, huh? Nice.
Paul Conrad in the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
It is Dean, and well, let's talk about this this Lindsey Buckingham thing. Am I remembering this right? Because you and I both used to be disc jockeys. Didn't Lindsey Buckingham leave Fleetwood Mac like 3 or 4 different times?
He did. He started with Fleetwood Mac in 1974, joined with his then girlfriend Stevie Nicks. Got all twisted up.
They went
up.
Scarf shopping, and they were never seen again.
He got twisted up. There was a bizarre scarf accident, and he had to leave the group. He did leave the group a couple of times, and I've always heard that there was never really, like, the greatest camaraderie between Lindsey and the rest of the group.
Mick Fleetwood is, I've been backstage at a couple of Fleetwood Mac concerts. Mick Fleetwood is a big, scary creep. I mean, he's just, I saw him be, like, mean to fans and stuff. It's just like he's the angry guy.
Well, apparently was angry enough yesterday to give Lindsey his walking papers from Fleetwood Mac. They're saying that there was just a conflict in schedule, and that's why. That's a conflict in schedule happens all the time. That's not a big deal.
Sure.
And, you know, you bring in guest performers.
He's a core member of the band.
He's a core member of the band for all of these years. So there was definitely more to this than that. But
what about his health insurance? Will he still have dental?
I think he has to get the Cobra.
Oh, no, that gets expensive.
Yeah, I think he has to get the Cobra. You better start tapping into some of that Go Your Own Way money. He wrote most of the song.
Yeah, he did.
Like the big hits from the early days of the group.
Well, he and Christine McVie just did an album of their own about a year ago.
Right. Yep. I'm very sad about it all. I don't really care.
Stevie Nicks is really nice.
She is very nice.
Yeah,
I've interviewed
Mick, she had me pet her puppy.
Mick Fleetwood also. Excuse me.
Wait, what? Before or after the show?
I was just trying to make. I was trying to make Nick's out of context. I think I may have.
Steve just likes to do that to see if I'm paying attention.
Sometimes it's a wake up thing. No, she had a puppy backstage, and she wanted me to pet her puppy.
Oh.
Steve, pet my puppy.
And did you?
Sure, it was Stevie Nicks. She don't turn down a puppy petting.
Come Remember on. Years ago when I did that with my Siamese cat?
Cat, there we go. Yeah. I knew that was coming.
That's when it got weird.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby trial continues today.
Hey, the topless protester. Did you hear that?
We did hear about it. Who was it? Do we know?
Yeah, we do. She was a former actress who appeared on a few episodes of The Cosby Show. She played little Rudy's, you know, playmate.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
That's an extra layer of weird.
Yeah, it turns out that she once worked for Cosby and jumped over a barricade yesterday while Cosby was going to retrial. Now, the first sexual assault case was called a mistrial. So now retrialing it, she jumps over this barricade, doesn't get to Cosby, but has names of accusers written all over her torso.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And also slogans and, you know, things like that. She's arrested. The police wrestle her into a nearby bush that was right on the pathway. I'm thinking that was a little bit painful.
I'm guessing.
You're half naked and you get pushed into.
You don't want to get pushed into a bush when you're naked.
Mm-mm.
This whole thing's getting weird.
The trial continues
weird dur
today.
So trial continues. All right, so here's a question. I told you a story. Two Milwaukee TV reporters, one unbeknownst to the other apparently, is dating a fellow reporter when she is getting trashed by the first guy, or should I say by the second guy. The first guy punches him in the face. Whom in Chicago television is most likely to punch whom else?
Mm.
So who you got, Dean?
You mean in theory?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're just speculating.
In theory. I'm going to say that if I'm going to predict a puncher, mm-hmm. it's going to be a former crime reporter, John Drummond.
Oh, yeah.
John the Bulldog Drummond.
And he'd punch anybody?
Pam Zuckman.
That's a good one.
That's just so wrong. Andrea?
Pam Zuckman comes up on him trying to, you know, get an interview while he's getting in his car.
And he swings wildly.
Yeah. I'm going to say Lourdes is going to haul off one of these days on Ben Bradley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's definitely going to happen. That may happen on air.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
4 o'clock news. Watch it every day to see if Lourdes punches Ben. Dave,
I think this may have actually happened. It may have happened on the air already. Dean, you might know Tom Skilling and Pat Tomasulo.
Well, that was close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomasulo ran like a scared little girl when he came in and told Skilling he was going to have to start paying for parking here at WGN. And that
one of the greatest pieces of video you'll ever see.
The famous I'm Tom Frickin' Skilling.
I could have you killed.
Right. And as Skilling is approaching him, Tomasulo skedaddles down the hall running like a little girl.
What about Ron Majors punching Mark Sapelsa? Huh? Yeah.
Well, like that's not bad.
In a retirement bout.
Yeah, they're buddies. Oh, yeah. They're buddies. I can't see them.
Gianluca Waddle? Gianluca takes a swing at Tom Waddle?
I could see that.
Well, I could see it, too.
That I could see.
You know, the sports guys. Anybody else? Anybody else, TV guys?
Yeah, I got Lee Phillips taking down Fahey Flynn.
That's true.
Thank you for going back even further than I did.
Yeah, I knew, too.
What if Bozo punched Wizzo?
They did with the pies.
Just for doing that.
Yeah,
not
just
with
doing
his
that.
Stone of Arabia. Stone.
You know what? That's my fault. I asked.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
See you.
That's Dean. Back with the headlines next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind. Don't you mean that?
On a Steve Cochran Show all-time top 10. Well, make that number one today. It is an honor to have Mr. Price in studio. Lewis Price, lead singer for the Temps for how long?
3 years, man.
And
3 years.
And still pretty.
Oh,
still pretty after
Steve,
all these years.
You're so kind.
How are you?
Man, I'm fine. I'm really doing well, and I'm grateful and thankful to be here.
You know, gratitude's a big deal. We all should be a little more grateful in life.
Absolutely.
Isn't it weird, though? I mean, I don't know about you, because you're not getting any older, but the older I get, the more grateful I get. So
that's the same here,
what do you
man.
Think about the temps hits.
Oh, God.
My girl, Cloud 9, I Wish It Would Rain. I mean, these are all...
I took my goddaughter to see Motown the Musical, and they played a ton of the temp songs, and my goddaughter's going, I love these.
Can't get next to you.
She was 20 at the time. She said, I love these. I'm going to download these songs. They're classics. They're
can't
so good.
Get next to you. Not that I ever had that problem.
Well, you know, I would go to schools and I would sing, and you know, you would think that these kids wouldn't know it. Almost every kid in the school would sing My Girl.
How about that? That's got to make you feel good.
I don't care what age.
How about that?
It's amazing.
You know another great song? Amazing. Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Papa. Yeah.
Wherever he hung, his hat was his home. Mm-hmm. And when he died, all he left me was alone.
That's great.
Can you just talk all morning to us?
If he
just listen to your voice?
If he leaves anything, just please don't leave alone. Right?
Oh, fantastic.
Don't leave me alone.
McCormick College, Chicago-based school, wants to raise $50,000, going to become part of scholarship money for low-income students in Chicago. Tell people why that matters to you.
Well, it matters because education is so important.
Right.
And support is so important. And that's why we have so much gratitude now, because we look back and we appreciate all the people who've helped us come this far.
Sure.
And that's what it's all about, everybody helping each other. And these kids, if they're willing and interested in going to school, we need to support them. Need to really get there and support them, because it makes a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. It changes the world. Educated kids change the world and make it much better.
You're going to be over at the Laugh Factory doing what he's known for, stand-up. Over at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, Steve, baby. Yeah.
Raising money for McCormick College and looking to raise, again, $50,000. Tickets include a free drink, a little bit of the dessert bar as well. The only thing I don't have on here, when is this, you guys? What's the date?
It's tonight.
Is it tonight?
Yeah, tonight. The function starts at 6:30.
Great.
And I think the shows will probably start about 7:30. What do you think? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we want people to come out and give some support and give some love, and most importantly, you know, come and see me.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it so poetic, too, because this town is so, it appreciates its music and its blues, and to give back to the community and communities in the Southwest
Chicago.
Sides that need this fun.
Oh, yeah, and Chicago is good to the temptation.
Yeah.
Oh, man, come on. You know, I don't know if you all know this, but I was born and raised here in Chicago. Mm-hmm.
What part of town?
West Side.
Which town? West Side.
Right.
Which neighborhood?
Roosevelt Road.
Oh.
And Central Park.
Okay.
Oh, cool,
okay.
Cool.
Went to John Marshall High School, and then I went to Aurora. University of Aurora.
Are you kidding me?
Right? And then I played basketball, me and Mickey Johnson. Holy cow, that's right.
How about that?
Hey, me and Mick, we had this plan. We said, look, when we make it, Lou, we're going to buy houses on these blocks, and we're going to put the nice people, and we're going to make this community change.
How about that?
We didn't make it. It didn't work.
What kind of game did you have?
I was pretty good.
A shooter?
I was pretty good.
A shooter or defense?
Both. I could do it all.
Oh, front and back.
I could do it all.
Look at that. Dave Ennett.
Yeah.
You could have called one of his games.
Yeah, I could have.
Uh-oh.
I could have. I watched Mickey Johnson play, so I didn't he coach for a while, too?
Unfortunately, yes. No, Mick, he did coach.
That's good.
That's what friends are for.
He needed my skills.
There you go. When did you realize you could sing?
You know, it was a prerequisite in my family. And in order for you to be in my family, you had to sing. And if you didn't sing, they would test you until the age of two. And if you couldn't sing, they put you up for an adoption.
Those are rough rules, man.
Rough rules.
He should be at the Laugh Factory, right? What are you talking about?
Hey, but the thing that what's good is that we had a 25-year reunion, and I didn't know it was in the clause, but everybody was able to come back. So all the people who had been put up for adoption came back.
Oh, that's nice. So the family got back together.
Oh, but wait a minute. When we went to sing this song, pass me now, ooh, gentle say. You know, we're singing, and I'm hearing somebody next to me, hey, you. Oh. And I say, oh, you're one of the guys that was put up for the
Dodgers. Get out of the family. Get out of the family.
It was crazy.
Get out.
I'm serious, dude. I didn't believe it. It was shocking, but go ahead. Let's go.
Well, you got to watch it. You know, not everybody can have the talent.
That's right.
Smallest crowd you ever appeared in front of?
this is about it. This is about it.
It's no, five.
I know, right. Five. No, it's you know what? I had a show in California. I live in California now, right? And met this beautiful lady.
What? And, with a voice like yours, you met a beautiful lady?
Oh, my gosh.
How weird. She was so beautiful. What are the chances?
I know. She was beautiful. And nobody was there. But we were hired to do a show. So Nancy Wilson and I did the show.
What a good story. That is tremendous.
And we performed with just the band. Me, Nancy, and maybe about 5 or 10 people, you know.
Right, right. The reason I ask is because before you get to be the Temptations, you got to play your way up, and everybody has that story, right? Smallest gig you ever worked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the way I got in the Temps was interesting because the Jerry Butler studio.
Yeah.
I think it's right down the street.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I used to go to Jerry Butler when we were young, and we'd hang around Terry Collier. You remember Terry Collier?
Remember the name.
Songwriter. I used to take
Yes.
So okay, anyway, yeah. They were like our mentors, and so they used to bring us down. We was in high school, and we'd come. So I graduated from college, and I went down to Jerry Butler's studio. My friend was working there, and he said, "Hey, man, the Impressions need a singer. You know, lead singer, why don't you go out there and try for that?" I said, "Man, I'm going to sing, Impressions. Come on, man, I'm good." So the guy said, "Yeah, I don't know. You can't make the impression." So I say, "Go ahead and make the date." So to make a short story longer, what I did was I went and I auditioned and I made the group. And they asked me, "When can you come and sing?" Right? And so then after that, I quit. And when I quit, they got another singer, and they went to California. And when they got to California, Melvin, the bass, he said, "I'm looking for a singer." He said, "Do you know of anybody?" And he said, "Papa was not." And then he said, "Yeah, I know this guy." So Fred of the Impression had kept my number. And it's just so ironic. So he gave him my telephone number.
How about that?
And I got a call.
How about that?
That's so
right?
Cool.
Can you believe how the business has changed?
Oh.
If you're a kid now and you're coming up in the business, you got to get on YouTube, needle in a haystack, and hope somebody sees it, and hope the video goes viral. Maybe you get on one of these music shows. Maybe you don't. It's just so hard.
It's crazy. And plus, what happened, they devalued our art. You know, nobody gets paid for the work and the creativity and the imagination that people used to just appreciate and support. Now you gotta put your song online and hope somebody hear it, like you're saying, and nobody hears it because everybody else is doing it. You got a million people fighting for one spot.
Right.
Kids are superstars. Dogs are superstars. It's just crazy.
Who do you like? Who do you listen to? Who are some of the musicians now, up and coming, that you think they're gonna be someone
it's this
big?
Guy, I started to tell you, but I don't know. His name is Lewis Price.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I've heard good things about him. The kid's got chops.
Now, I you know who I really used to love? It was Luther Vandross.
Here. Great.
Yes.
One of the greatest
voices,
greatest singer.
And see, because you're from, and you will understand this, so I grew up in Maywood.
Okay.
Maywood is a predominantly African-American. I was the only white kid in my grade school that graduated. So my whole life, I'm growing up with the OJs and the Temptations. That's all of my music.
Oh, man.
So I come out of there, and it's...
Thank God. What would happen to you if it was nothing but white boys?
Yeah. So here's my question for you. Uh-huh. Okay, so we were kidding, but I just had a knee replaced.
Okay.
Even in my best day, I couldn't do the moves.
Well, the choreography.
Temptations
choreography.
So do you always remember that? Can you just click into it in 2 seconds?
I heard
seconds?
That's how you go out to get the mail.
Oh.
Yeah, be spinning down the driveway.
Steve, come on. I used to split. You know, I used to do a split. And you said you had a hip or knee?
Knee.
Okay, well, I can't do any of those things.
I'm not using it as an excuse because I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it when you're a kid.
Let me clarify. Yes, go ahead.
So who did the choreography?
Charlie Atkins. I don't know if you remember that guy. Mm-hmm. Charlie Atkins, he did the choreography for the OJs.
Oh, okay.
Gladys Knight and Pip.
So it was, okay, that's what was my next question. So it was one guy who did several groups.
Okay, but hold on a second. Hold on a second. Nobody loves Gladys Knight more than me.
Oh, come on.
But the Pips choreography, two steps right, two steps left. Two steps right, two steps left. Come on.
That was great. Is he talking about them or is he complimenting? What is this? I don't know. That was great, man.
I'm just saying the Temptations were athletes.
Yeah. What about the Four Tops?
Elementary school.
Lon Fontaine, too. He was a choreographer. In fact, when I first got with the Temps, that was kind of like the biggest challenge because, you know, when you sing in the streets and coming up and stuff,
sure.
you don't have to do a show of dancing. You just dance sometime in the show, right? So I get up here and we go to the first rehearsal. They have four styrofoam cups. Five. All right, and they put them in, and they had a beatbox. Remember the music box there?
Sure,
sure.
So we go to this exquisite hotel, and we put that music box there, and they said, "Okay, let's go." And so they want me to spin, kick left, spin right, kick right, spin left, and I said, "Oh man!" And I kind of, you know, fell a little. You know, the first time, but after a while, I had to boom, shot, shot, boom, shot, shot, boom, shot. And so we would, I would have to do that like one. First, I was the middle, then the second line, and the third line. So I'd have to do it three times.
You have three different lines.
And it was like when I was spinning up.
Right, you'd be spinning.
Holy cow.
Spinning, man. But it was after when it started working. It was like magic.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because the dancing, that was for live performances.
Yes.
You still had to sing. When you're singing, you didn't have to do the dancing. Then MTV comes along, and that changed everything because then everybody had to dance. Everybody had to perform.
Yes.
Yeah. But look at you. Look at you, Mr. Handsome. Mr. Handsome with that voice of yours. You should hear him off the air. Six octaves higher. Hang on 1 second. More coming up, and we'll tell you more about McCormick College and what's happening tonight.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
So good. Honestly, you know, if you're Tom Hanks, all you need is Wilson the Volleyball and every song the Temptations ever did.
Yeah.
Tom, stay on that island forever.
Tom.
So, in studio, an honor to have him here is Lewis Price, former lead singer of the Temptations, tonight at McCormick, or tonight a fundraiser for McCormick College. And let's tell everybody where it is again. What did I say, Laugh Factory?
The Laugh Factory. I think that's Belmont and Broadway. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep. And get there early. You'll have a great night. They raised 30 grand last year. They want to raise 50 this year. And it's an important deal because McCormick College takes care of kids who otherwise might not have the opportunity to maximize their lives. You should feel good about that.
Yeah, I know you can do it. When you said Tom Hanks, it just brought back a story. But, you know, I don't want to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you are kind of shy. Let me hear your Tom Hanks story.
Tom Hanks. We at a friend's house, and the friend is at this beautiful home, and unfortunately next to the Sharon Tate situation.
Oh, yeah.
And it's same on the same block. But anyway, Tom Jones is there, and Tom Jones is smoking a cigar. And, so we said, are we going to sing now? So we're all there for a little dinner. Tom Hanks, his wife, Sarah?
Oh, Rita.
Rita.
Yeah. Rita Wilson, yeah.
Wilson. And I told him I would come. And I found out that they were trying to set me up to come and sing. And I said, nah, I'm not, don't. If you're asking me just to come to sing and eat, then that means you just want me to pay for my food by singing. And I said, no, I'm not coming. No. And they said, well, Lou. They said, no, you could come, but and don't even have to worry about singing. So I call them back. I said, you know what? I'm going to come. I said, well, don't nobody ask me to sing.
Right.
So I get up there, and we all eat, and then we go to this room. So I'm sitting down, and then Saida. Garrett, who wrote Man in the Mirror, right?
Yeah.
She was saying, she's the one who invited me, right? So she gets up, boom, boom. So I just stand up, and I walk up to the mic. I didn't let nobody, you know I was going to do it at a certain time. I just walked up to the mic, and I grabbed the mic. And as I was going to the mic, the guy who owned the house, Jeff, a friend of mine, he looked and he saw me and he just walked away because he didn't want to say nothing to me. Nothing. So he walked away and sat down, right?
Right.
So I looked at the keyboard player and I said, give me a B flat minor. And he said, just hold on to that. Just get rumbling like you're in church. You ever been to church? You know, so he's,
I said, come on.
I said, ooh, I bet you I'm wondering how I knew.
Oh, man.
You know, and then I said,
and the place is up for grabs.
Then I said, give me the five chord. He's, about your plans to make me blue. And so then I started, and Tom Hanks.
Oh, that's so great. You got Tom Hanks up.
And his wife, Rita, they.
Yeah. And suddenly the white people went to church.
Then I said, wait a minute. And I just walked off the stage. Right? Oh. But I sang a little, heard it through the grapevine. And they were, one, two, three. And I just walked off the stage.
Man.
Oh. And they were freaking.
I bet the place was up for grabs. Up for grabs.
Wow.
Hey, we're talking about Barry Gordy off the air. He signed you?
Hey, man. Barry Gordy. He's cool. Yeah, he signed me. I met Barry Gordy at Sidney Poitier's birthday party.
All right, let me just see. Anybody else in the room at that party?
I was supposed to go.
Yeah, you had something come up,
but,
didn't you?
Yeah, something happened that night.
The people get jealous. Barry Gordy was Barry Gordy. Without Barry Gordy, you think about some of the artists you never would have heard of.
Oh, question about it, yeah.
I heard he was a nice man. Never met him.
I never had any problems with him, except for one. and it was, you know, he was out of the business.
Okay.
And, you know, he was getting out of the business. But somebody brought him in and he saw me and he wanted to be involved, but he didn't. You know how you say, I've done this before, man.
Right.
So he was really busy doing his life. And somebody was trying to bring him in to help me. And he loved me and he called me personally. In fact, let me just tell you the story.
Okay.
We talking. I'm at home. Suddenly I get a call. I've never heard from this guy. And I get a call. This Lewis Price? I said, yeah, it's Lewis, yeah. I said, who's this? And hold for the chairman.
The chairman?
I said, what chairman?
Sinatra?
I didn't order any chairs, you know, somebody come and deliver some chairs or something. So I said, what? And I just held. I said, who is it? Then Barry comes on, and he said, yeah, did you sign? Because I had met him at Sidney's birthday party, and I sang, and I got exchanged numbers. He said, Suzanne DePass. She said, take his number and call him, right? So I went up, and I'm moving the story real fast, because this is radio. We don't have all day.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So anyway, he called me, and he said, hey, look, I told them to sign you. They didn't sign you? I said, no. I said, they told me to bring some songs, get some songs together, and come back, and if you guys like them, you know, you'll sign me, and if you didn't like them, I could have the songs and go and shop them. He said, what do you mean? I told them to sign. He said, I'll call you back. So anyway, he called me back and said, hey, you go up there and sign, get your lawyer, and let's sign some papers and let's get busy.
How good a day was that?
Wow.
It was great.
That's a good day.
It was great.
You know what? It's an honor to meet you. I've always been a fan, but you can come by anytime.
Thanks.
You're in town. I'm never going to make you sing for food. We'll find you some food.
We'll
get you whatever. But I want you to have fun tonight because you're doing an important thing. Tonight, for the benefit of McCormick College, we're going to get together at the Laugh Factory. What time are we starting this?
7:30.
7:30? 7:30 tonight. Tickets still available. Where do we go for tickets?
Website, McCormick.edu.
McCormick.edu. That's MacCormick.edu. You can Google it up. You can find it there as well. But thank you for doing this.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, great Chicago. You, love you. Appreciate you. Yeah. Steve, you know, all you guys, and the beautiful Audrey, man.
thank you, Lou.
God bless, man. Good health. And we're back in a moment. Hi to everybody on CLTV.
Oh, yep.
And this is 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We continue 9:15 live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Steve Cochran Show. And thanks again to, you know, we had two Lewises on the show today. We had two Lewises.
Lewis the accountant and Lewis the temptation.
Wouldn't it be weird if the temptations guy was also an accountant?
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
But thanks again to Lewis Price, former lead singer of the Temptations, and Lewis Sands, tax accountant of the stars, earlier in the program. John DeCoste is here. John, you want to introduce our friend?
Yes. Laura has been here before. Laura Franz from TLS.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back, Laura. This is our third time, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
So. And you're one of my favorite guests, because last year when you were here, my granddaughter Abigail surprised me.
I gave you
credit for it. Yeah. She wouldn't have come in if it wasn't for you.
That was pretty good.
Tell people what TLS is.
So, TLS veterans, we've been around for 22 years, and what we do is we are here to give a hand up to veterans that need a hand up, whether it is a one-time thing that they're struggling with food, need for support, housing, employment, clothing, furniture.
So pretty much anything.
It is a broad range. Yeah, anything, any need, we either can meet that need or connect a veteran with, and family members, I should say, with other people who can meet that.
So you must have a pretty good network of resources.
We do. And it's even covering other states now. Like, we follow some of the veterans that have gone through our programs and they've moved to other states, and we're still following them in other states and getting referrals from other states.
It's taken on a lot. I mean, has it grown fairly quickly?
It has grown. Yeah, I've been there 2.5 years, and I feel like as the word is getting out about us and what we do and how we help, more people are coming forward with veterans they know or family members that are veterans that could use a hand up.
John, how'd you get involved with this?
Well, they asked me a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, to host their fundraiser night, which was like a band, a bunch of bands playing, so I would come out and I'd do the tote board, and it was fun. But yeah, fun.
We were the monkey.
I was the monkey. I was the monkey. And Steve, we've talked about this, how much we love to do stuff with the veterans,
sure,
and all that. So it was like,
let's taking money from rich people. Yes. You get a bunch of rich people in a room, I like taking their money and giving it to people that need it.
So we did that for 2 years, and this year we're changing it up because this year it's and I think I came up with the title, correct?
You did.
Yes, which will be Sunday,
April 29th
at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
At the Opera House. Go ahead.
Woodstock Opera House.
Yes,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the title is, drum roll.
Yeah, actually, it's so funny, and please say it. Just say
Laugh
it.
Laugh out proud.
Laugh out proud.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, everybody stares at me. Yeah. But I was like,
what are you,
let's
nine? No, you say it.
I know, it's horrible. But this is instead of the bands and everything, we're opening with Skip Gripperis. Skip. We've used him for years.
Yeah.
Who does his own one-man show, but he's an incredible musician. He's just, all about the growing up with rock. And then it's me. Tim Baker will be hosting. Mm. Myself and Mike Toomey from WGN TV.
Wow, nice lineup.
Yeah.
And we all started together. It's like what a great afternoon.
We did an early New Year's Eve show a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Which I think was right about this time, and I wondered if we could be funny at that hour. Do you feel good about 2:30?
You know, that's a good point, because we did it at 1:00, and I failed miserably.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, I failed miserably. Steve knocked it out. I couldn't follow him.
But it is different. It's a different feel.
It is a different feel. Right.
So we're going to need most of the people you have there loaded. loaded and loaded, right? Loaded and loaded.
Absolutely.
But the Opera House is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And this will be, Steve, you and I have never performed there.
No, I haven't either. I've seen it, but
yeah, I've seen it from the, and I've, so I'm really looking forward to this. And it's for a good cause, and it's just one afternoon.
Are you going
to
sing? Because the acoustics, it's the Opera House. I'm not kidding. Are you going to sing? You should sing. Don't you think you should sing?
I absolutely think you should sing.
Wow.
You sing?
He's got a phenomenal voice, and he's the musical director of the program, so all the songs you hear on the show, he's done.
Crazy talented.
Crazy talented.
Let me take a quick poll. You in? Dave, you in for John singing?
Oh, yeah, I think that would be a great idea.
Steve Grzanich, should John sing?
Always in for John singing.
Yeah. Okay, Mary Vandeveld?
Oh, yeah, come on, bring it in.
All right, Sandberg, you want John to sing? Sandberg says yes.
Yes, yes.
And let's go to Super Joe.
Honest vote or...
So 6 out of 7, Ben.
6 out of 7 is a pretty good. Well, listen, if people buy tickets, I will sing. So,
could you give us a taste now?
Yes.
Oh, we can play something.
Great idea.
We can play something. Like, we have.
Yeah, we'll play something. We're done.
I have a. How many songs
from your greatest hits album?
A repertoire.
Holy mackerel!
The lawsuits are incredible.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Where does the money go?
It goes to help veterans, the people within our organization that work with the veterans and spend the time connecting them. And then if there are veterans that need specific things, we also use funding for that as well. There's a lot of emergency needs that come up for veterans and their families.
And if people are listening now who need help, how do they get a hold of you guys?
Well, there's a number of ways. They can go to info@tlsveterans.org. We get a lot of emails for people looking for assistance. We're also on Facebook, so direct messaging us through Facebook. Our telephone number, 815-679-6667.
All right.
I've been to the offices. Right, it's all true. They're all there. It's amazing.
Well, it sounds like you hooked Mr. DeCoste here, so you're in good hands.
we appreciate it.
It's all good.
Tickets again, where and when?
Tickets are $23. You can buy them.
$23? It's a steal.
I know. I agree.
Cheaper ticket than last year.
Right.
Less expensive than last year.
Right.
And you're going to sing, so it's a double
sing.
Bonus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. With no upcharge for that.
Yeah. So $23, where do we go?
$23 at the woodstockoperahouse.com, I believe it is, or on our website, tlsveterans.org.
Laugh out proud.
Yeah,
the 29th.
That's a great name.
It is.
It is good.
Yeah, it is good.
I give you credit. But no,
I was, yeah,
it's
I
a great name, and
that.
You're a child.
Yes.
thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Yeah, thank
9:22
you.
More coming up, 7:20 WGN.
Whenever I need my news update, I go to Andrea.
She's Andrea Dallas, baby. She has a nose for news. She can tell us the inside out and what it's really about. She's Andrea Dallas, baby. If you snooze, you lose.
9:26, Steve Cochran Show continues. This is Autism Awareness Month. And there's a study that some of you may be aware of that's really important that I wanted to draw quick attention to. April is Autism Acceptance Month, and there's one generalization that people who don't have an autistic family member jump to immediately. And that's that people with autism are antisocial. They won't look you in the eye. And there was a general category that these kids and people with autism were placed under, and that they had a lack of empathy or a lack of sense of feeling of other people. And that's why they wouldn't look you in the eye, because they were locked in their own world. It's what you hear over and over and over again. When you think about it, it's a fairly insulting way for us to look at that entire segment of the population. So there's a British psychologist named Simon Baron-Cohen, and that name might sound familiar to you because he is the cousin of Sasha
Baron-Cohen.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And as a doctor, he explained that people on the autism spectrum avoid eye contact in that way because they lack the ability to imagine the thoughts and feelings of others. They didn't think about other people. Well, as it turns out, not so much the case. A new study creates a new paradigm. According to Dr. Sue Fletcher Watson from the Department of Autism Research Society, learning to look other people in the eye is sort of like trying to get a lefty to learn how to write with their right hand right now. There is not an under-sensitivity of people with autism. There is an over-sensitivity. And something as simple as staring you in the face sets off sensory reactions that we can't understand. Those of us who are allegedly normal. It can actually be physically painful, depending on the degree autism affects an individual, to take in something as simple as an eye contact situation with another person.
Right. It makes sense.
So again, it's not under-sensitive, it's over-sensitive. You try to remain in your own world if you are autistic, to the best of our understanding, because it's a safety mechanism. It's a way for you to handle the fact that you are oversensitive in so many ways. And autistic kids have these, I don't know what the technical term for it is. I should know, with my daughter doing what she does every day with autistic kids. But a heavy blanket, a comforting blanket, these weighted blankets, which mean a lot because that helps certain kids, with their sensory processing capabilities. You know, loud noises can be a problem. Movie theaters and concerts and things, those that have the ability have done some very good and understanding things in having, for instance, a movie theater, an autistic theater showing of a particular movie where kids can go in, and if they're stemming, I think that's the right term, right? Where they could be making a particular noise that they make, or fidgeting with their fingers, or they have to stand up and move around, whatever the case. They're not going to be judged and looked at the way they would be in a theater with the rest of us. Mm-hmm.
The sensory part is so interesting, too, because remember, Patty will tell the story about her
Patty
son.
Vasquez.
Yes, and how he goes toward the vending machines where the soda pop is because of the light, and it's kind of a quiet humming of the sound, something that we
Put his head against the machine
exactly.
and listen.
Yeah.
And there's a vibration piece to that story as well.
Yeah.
Look, we don't know much, but we know more than we used to. And we know that people with autism are not undersensitive. They're oversensitive. And that's a big distinction, an important one. So if you have an opportunity to take a step back and thank somebody who works in the field, I hope you'll do it. And, how about my kid?
How about that?
Amy Cochran, working every day.
Very cool.
With kids with autism. She goes into their homes, and she does therapies with them. She works with the parents, trying to teach them how to work with the kids. It's amazing. She's so much better than her father.
Yes.
Not even kidding.
Yes.
Not even kidding.
True that.
9:30, back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fire, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
9:42, Big O rejoins us live from
Good morning.
The desert. How are things in the desert?
Well,
I hate to tell you this because my friends all jump on me for this, but our temperature yesterday was 92 degrees and there wasn't a snowflake to be seen.
We, as you know, got a couple of inches of snow in the last 2 days,
right.
But Andrea just told me it's going to be 70 Friday and 71 Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good,
yes.
Good. And I'm finally going to get to come back to the Midwest the first Monday of May.
Oh, great.
So I'm looking forward to that because I want to be back in time for the WGN Walk of Fame ceremony.
As a member of the original class. Now, you told me for years how much fun your grandkids were, and of course I found out in the last 2 years you were right.
Yes.
So every Monday afternoon I get my own time with Abigail Grace, you know, where I watch her on Mondays. I mean, we see her all the time, but that's just her time and my time. And yesterday, we were playing a really tough game of balloon basketball where we would blow up balloons and then toss them into her crib. And I taught her to say, yeah, baby. So that was a good time.
Yeah.
Good time. Good time.
So that's the word we'll hear from her for the next month or so?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. She also, I've convinced her that her dad, Ross Cochran, stole my hair. So she'll rub.
Did you really?
Yeah. So she rubs the top of my head and she goes, Pop's no hair. And yesterday she looked at me kind of sad and she said, get it back. So I'm thinking she's judging me now. She may not like me as much without hair.
Not
sure.
Well, I hope Ross is getting his airline ticket to get out of town.
That's exactly right. What's going on in the ag world?
Well, here's a story that does not make me feel at all bad because I've been critical of the Humane Society of the United States for years. They show us the pictures of the mistreated pets and all that sort of thing. But of the money they take in, 1% goes to local animal shelters. Well, earlier this year, the CEO, Wayne Pacelli, and we've had an ongoing argument for years, resigned, and Vice President Paul Shapiro resigned, and because of the sex scandal, sex harassment at the Humane Society of the United States, and so the Humane Society has lost its accreditation from the Better Business Bureau's charity accreditation arm, and following the resignations of Mr. Pacelli and Mr. Shapiro, the charity has now lost its accreditation from the Better Business Bureau's charity arm, the Wise Giving Alliance. So just wanted to share that.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, I mean, it all comes around at one point or another. So it's got sort of karma. And we certainly hope animals are treated appropriately all the time. But the management and the administration of the place have been a problem for years, and now it's caught up to them.
It has. It really has. And so that announcement made yesterday. The other interesting announcement is from the president of China this morning or overnight, who said he is going to open the Chinese market faster to outside manufacturing organizations, particularly card manufacturers and that type of thing. And it's interesting that the president of China took this stance because I don't think it was expected that much, but he said he will raise the foreign ownership limit in automobile, shipbuilding, and aircraft sectors as soon as possible. Maybe he realized that China needs the United States trade agreement a little more than the U.S.
Yeah.
does.
I'm not
sure.
Yeah, we will find out. Mary Vandeveld, what did you want to tell her?
Oh, I thought of you, because I know you know everything. And
know.
Recently my son moved from 10 acres of land that he had up in Wisconsin,
right.
And somebody bought his house that wants to raise yaks. And I thought, what the heck? I mean, aren't they like Russian animals that have to be? What would someone do with a yak in Wisconsin?
I would think the climate for yaks would be great in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, but this is like, you know, southern Wisconsin. It's not northern Wisconsin. So I thought of you, What, have you ever known anyone to raise a yak?
No, I never have. But on the other hand, we're raising llamas now, and they're not really native to the United States. So maybe it's an entrepreneur looking for a way to add to his income by taking them on the road to county fairs and state fairs to show them off. So that could be a reason, but I don't know officially why it would be, because I haven't seen anything from the standpoint of dollar and what they're worth. So you're going to have to wait and see. But now you can tell everybody you live next to people who raise yaks.
Can you eat a yak?
It looks like a big axe.
Yeah, I mean, is there yak meat?
Well, I'm sure there is, because they're an animal that could be processed for dining, but I've never eaten it, and I probably never will, so I can't offer any comment on
Dave,
that.
Can you offer any insight?
I have found some yaks online at yaks.com. That's YAKZZ.com.
This is for
yaks
dating
for
purposes?
Sale. Let's see. There's one in Pennsylvania for $2,000. That's a female, 9 years.
Okay.
Another one for $2,000 in Pennsylvania. Here's one, $1,500 in Colorado, a bull.
Oh, sweet.
So they're out there.
So for $3,500, I could hook the Pennsylvania yak up with the Colorado yak, and
so
we can make babies.
There's one in Wisconsin.
I think you can milk a yak, too.
I'm sure you can.
Not without cooperation from the yak.
You're right. It says you can filter them by if you want them to be pregnant, show quality, meat, fiber, or packing.
No, so you can't eat them.
Well, so if you get a yak attack...
Here's the thing.
You just go to yak.com.
Here's the thing. As we know, most of the best yaks in America come from Yakima. Yakima, Wisconsin. What? No, that's in Washington.
I don't think so, Dave.
Or Mongolia.
That's in Washington. Big O, what are we going to do in the markets today with Facebook? Do you see Facebook taking a hit with Zuckerberg testifying?
Not really, because I think he is going to be apologetic. I think he's going to say we've made mistakes. At least we've seen that in the written statement that was released by the committee on Capitol Hill a day or so ago. I think he'll be conciliatory, and I think he'll say, I'm sorry, and we're going to do better on it. And I don't see Facebook taking a big hit.
And does that affect your concern for your Facebook page? He's a big social media guy.
And Gloria does. So.
Gloria has a great page. We love her.
So, all right, my friend, thank you. I will talk to you very soon.
Okay, very good.
All right, now, we do have a yak farmer on the phone. Is it Karen?
Yes, but I'm not a yak farmer. I'm a knitter.
Oh, you use yak yarn.
We use yak yarn. I just came in Chicago this past weekend. There was an event called YarnCon, which was the independent
YarnCon
festival. YarnCon, yes.
Oh, that's tremendous. Wow. And is yak...
There were 2,000 people there all weekend. It was at Plumbers Hall.
Is yak a good yarn to work with?
It is. It's very warm. Warm, and it's actually very soft. They use the underbelly.
And what do you make with your yak yarn? Sweaters and whatever?
Sweaters and whatever, yeah.
That's tremendous. You made my day.
Yeah.
Hold on. Give her whatever she'd like off the prize list. Maybe an app gift card from ABT.com and a Lou Malnati's pizza from LouMalnati's.com. Let's play the match game when we come back. You know the match game. Celebrities on this show really, really, really stink. And you need two listeners now to compete for fabulous prizes. 312-981-7200. We're back with that.
Now, a yak.
Yak. Yak.
Typical match game open. John Acosta, your host of the match game. John, as I understand it, the way the game is played is the celebrities will give an answer to a question that you pose.
Right.
And it has to match the answer given by the contestant only after our answers are in.
Correct.
Let's go to Donna. Donna's in LaGrange Park. Donna, say hi to John.
Hi, John. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, good. You know how to play the game, so I'm just going to go right ahead and ask the question, okay?
Okay.
Donna, don't give me your answer until I ask for it. Here we go. Orion Samuelson's wife, Gloria, was so mad at Orion because instead of flowers for their anniversary, he bought her blank. I'll repeat that again.
I'm done.
Orion Samuelson's wife, Gloria, was so mad at Orion because instead of flowers for their anniversary, he bought her blank.
Celebrities all locked in?
Celebrities in, yes. Donna, what is your answer?
A pig.
That would make good. Gloria mad.
That's good.
That would make Gloria mad.
And I'm going to give leeway in that. Let's start with Dave Ennett.
Obvious answer, a yak.
A yak.
Yeah, a yak.
Perfect time on that one. Yak. That's okay. Andrea?
I said a slab of beef.
A slab of beef. Okay.
That's really the worst answer so far.
No.
It really was.
That's good. Mary Sandberg?
Radishes.
What?
That should make you feel good about your slab of beef.
I do. Yes. I feel much better now.
Mary upstairs?
This should count, I think. Pork belly.
Yes. Pork belly. I will
ding,
give.
Ding, ding, ding.
There we go.
Super Joe?
Super Joe?
Manure. Manure.
Manure. Oh, that's good.
I got to say, I'm going to need a meeting with you, Sandberg, and Andrea. All right, question number two.
Steve, what was your answer?
Yak.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, it was yak.
And very good.
Yakety yak.
Who's on for two?
Donna had two or one?
Donna was one.
Okay, let's go line two. It's Tony. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing, Tony? How's it going?
What's happening, Tony?
Hey, how's it going, Tony?
How long can we talk like this?
You know how to play the game, right, Tony?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. I'll wait for your answer, okay, so when I ask for it. WGN Radio is moving in May, but the new studios won't be ready, so Mary Sandberg suggested we broadcast from a blank. I'll repeat the question. WGN Radio is moving in May, but the new studios will not be ready, so Mary Sandberg asked if we could broadcast from a blank.
I'm in.
Everybody in?
I'm in.
Everybody in? Yes.
I'm in.
Tony, what is your answer?
Hotel.
A hotel.
Wow. That's a good answer.
Oh, that is a good answer.
Yeah, can it be comfortable?
Yes.
Yeah. Be comfortable.
Room service.
Dave?
Wendella.
Wendella? Wow. What are you talking about?
The Wendella boats on the river.
Boats. Why would she want to do the Wendella boats? Have you met her?
Like
okay. I know.
Are we going to debate all of our answers?
It's like you don't even know her.
It would mess her hair.
Yes.
I'm going to say Mary's favorite place in the world, her laundry room.
Okay.
And I said a laundromat.
Laundromat?
Yes.
Laundry room.
Of course.
Three.
I said laundry room.
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga. That's good, too. Four. Tony, good answer, but not the right one.
All right,
Donna's
Tony.
Our winner.
Tony, you lost one.
Rooms in the hotel, right?
There are a lot of laundry.
Oh, that's true.
You know what?
True.
It's a tie.
A
you
tie.
Both win.
You both win.
You both win. You get the prizes off the air from Apt, from Lou Malnati's, and Bill and Wendy are here. And we got about a minute before their show starts. Normally, we don't have this kind of expanse of time. But again, thanks to Apt, ABT Electronics, apt.com. And LouMalnati's.com. Hi, Bill.
Steve, a laundromat?
It's a laundromat.
A laundromat. The password is laundromat.
And it's where yaks take baths.
Yes.
It's a laundromat. So, how you guys doing?
Awesome.
Okay, good call.
I love that game. I love to play it. I love to watch it.
Yeah.
Sandberg's very good at that.
You have good answers.
What?
All right, now who's sucking up?
Yeah, I got no reason to.
Yeah.
I
want
to see your laundry room.
Yeah. Radishes?
Radishes.
I love radishes.
What's wrong with you?
I work with Bill Leff every day.
Where'd Wendy go? Bring Wendy back. What's the matter with you? What are you guys doing today?
People. Just rerunning what you guys played. Some highlights. We'll do like a director's cut. We'll talk over parts of it.
Oh, you got a comment on it?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Some comment.
How are we?
Did you hear Lewis Price?
Yes,
Lewis
and
Price, lead singer
I got into
for the
a
Temptations.
Fight with him in
what?
The green room
what?
Because his
I told you,
band.
Don't, I told you, don't hit my guess.
His band stole some music from the California Raisins, and I'm not proud of that.
Oh, my God.
So I called him out on that.
Yeah. He was got singing to. In the lobby.
He was.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
Left two billers,
like 10 minutes ago.
Lobby, yeah.
He was still here 10
He'll
minutes ago.
He'll do
singing.
A show anywhere.
He was doing one in Argo T.
Well, can you guys agree with me that the weakest choreography, the pips?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What'd you say? Left,
step
right,
two, left,
yeah.
Step left, two.
Not much
right,
to
two.
That.
Not a lot going on.
No.
Hey, we gotta go. See you tomorrow.